it's three different. And that makes sense because we're three very different guys.
Are we? Are we three wild and crazy guys? Wild and
crazy guys.
Definitely one of those two things.
Perfect. Oh. Well, let's kick this thing off, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to come to your local taint dispensary for your weekly dose of the madness to be dispensed upon your ear holes. We are the boys at the Black Tower. We are here to taintify your mind and mystify your senses. Please, if you're driving, be sure to pull over, as sometimes it can be hazardous to your health. If you have weak constitutions, we ask that you take your medications prior to this.
Josh, the accent makes it better, but please stop, because you're a little Bill Cosby right now, and that
no! is not happening.
Wasn't he released from prison? Yeah.
Yes, that's why it needs to not be happening.
Black Tower Podcast coming at you. The best around.
No one's ever gonna break it down.
I am your Soravan Mihail, Josh.
I am your Amenkan Mihail, Daniel.
And I am your Bajan Mihail, Andrew.
Ooh. Andrizu.
Flow Rider and
Oh, yeah, boy. And we're here. We're going to talk to you about the Wheel of Time stuff. Why? Because we're like talking about the Wheel of Time.
Is that what our topic is?
Wheel of Time stuff is life. It is. That is actually the actual, that's the actual thing. It's
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It's the overarching theme to this here story.
It's true.
Is that because like time is cyclical?
I was going to say it's because our story is a story of a story, but.
Our story of a boy who was a dragon to save the whole world, but he went so mad before he got there. We absolutely love him. I don't know. It doesn't work. It does, but it doesn't.
Doesn't quite. It does. But you know what does work? BlackTowerPod.com. Very well. Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left. If you're on computer, there are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out. And you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. Website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn On Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website, a quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
You can find a link there to our Patreon, which is the only place where you can get your fancy smancy coins here, like the sword coin and the dragon coin. It's also the only place where you can get access to listen to us live until we do something somewhere else where you hear us right then and there. Yeah.
Accurate.
You think, having done this for almost 3 years, I could sell our shit better. But you know who sells their shit amazingly? Josh's better half.
Oh my God, you're right. CrystalBarista.com.
She is. She's pretty cool.
Or Facebook.com/rockpick.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A. Which I think is the only way to spell it. We all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
And nice. Now is the time to hit it because she's doing Christmas in July and it's so good. She's like, she's going nuts right now.
Nuts.
So get in on that. Nuts. And she's doing classes too. So she started back up her classes. So if you want to do classes on geology and all the kind of fun stuff, go ahead and jump in there and sign up. They are classes geared for kids, but they do cover in-depth things about geology and adults.
Feel good about yourself, Dan?
And adults frequently.
I do. I always feel good about myself. I've made that joke 3 times on this podcast. And every single time it gets better.
Every single time he pats himself on the back.
And then after you have bought all of the rocks.
It was such a good job.
You can go over to thegreatblight.com and check out all the Wheel of Time goodness there that Nablus has cultivated.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. You can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
Julie, so with that out of the way, like, what are we talking about tonight? Are we talking about something, or is this just?
I was told that it was about the Wheel of Time by some sassy.
I mean, that is a spoiler
here.
I don't know who they're pointing at. I don't hey, even talk. This isn't even my voice. This is pre-recorded, and I just hit a button and play it.
This isn't even my real voice.
No one knows what I sound like.
Nobody.
No one
nobody knows.
It's like the I can't remember which Pirates of the Caribbean movie it is. There's the one guy that, like, his, like, you know, hand or his, like, you know, second mate or first mate, whatever, always speaks for him. Then when he finally speaks, he's got, like, the super high-pitched voice.
Oh yeah.
So we will go too far. But before we get further into the nitty gritty something committee of what we're talking about today, you need protection, and this episode's protection will be brought to you by our good friend, a lovely Patreon, the registered nerd, aka the fantastic Emily. And here, yeah, go.
This is your Black Tower Podcast Wheel of Time spoiler warning. There are neither beginnings nor endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. If you continue to listen, you may be cursed with the knowledge yet to come. These curses may include knowledge that you are, in fact, just a farm boy. Drinking one glass of wine now leads to mustache pulling and a hell of a hangover.
resigning that you will never be as good with the ladies as your friends are. Realizing Androl is bae, regardless of your gender or sexual orientation. The inability to stop tugging your braid in anger, even if you don't have hair. And understanding that the word taint is simultaneously a noun, adjective, and verb. Discovering you have more titles than actual name. The BDE, also known as Big Dragon Energy, becomes undeniable. Finding yourself promising to read A New Spring and never getting to it. An uncontrollable urge to argue over inconsistent pronunciations. Like, knowing that hating Gon is a responsibility, not a privilege. Again, there are no beginnings or endings to spoilers, but this is a beginning. You have been warned.
You have been warned.
So
going forward, it's not our fault when you get spoiled.
You have 5 seconds to leave. Five, four, three, two.
So anyway, when Egwene dies...
You're such a dick.
I love it.
What are you talking about tonight, boys? Gawain dies. Bella survives, though you don't see it in the books. Rand swaps bodies with Moradin and survives on. Avi, Endemin, and Elaine all know about it and are all pretty chill at the funeral. Catswain becomes the new Amyrlin C. Maureen and Tom get hitched and fuck.
Yeah, boy.
Matt carries on being a traitor to the Westlands and will eventually lead the armies of the Shantan against Randlan.
Yeah, that's happening.
That is kind of upsetting.
That's absolutely happening.
We're definitely going to get a
get the
scene.
Fuck out of here.
We're going to get a duel of the fate scene between Matt and Rand.
Rand 2.0.
Yeah.
Mora Rand.
Rand Kenobi and Darth Raven. Rand with all of his good Two Rivers to back will definitely have the high ground.
I see.
Just need to get better in tune with your roots, dude.
So what's tonight's
topic?
You didn't even
grow that much of this stuff, man. Your dad was all about like the apple brandy and the sheep.
I'm gonna treat you like a badger and let you loose on the green.
Hey,
bro.
You've been in a box, but has anybody put you in a bag yet?
So tonight's topic is we're doing another background breakdown. This time on the much-loved, sadness-potentially-inducing, depending on your own sensibilities, the lovely, the fantastic, the Varen Mathwin of the Brown Aja.
Sing
this
the
is
brown
a big
note,
one, guys.
Need quotations, but.
This is a big one, guys.
It is. It's
Varen
dense.
Is larger
She's
than
dense.
Life. She's amazing.
We will be vehemently validating the venerable versatility of Varen.
Ooh, how long did it take you to write that?
I didn't actually write it down, but I thought about it for half the day.
Nice.
I figured
you just took the first line of V's speech from V for Vendetta and inputted the ones that and re-inputted the ones that mattered.
That would have been a better use of my time.
Aww.
Recycle stuff that other people have already said because that's our show.
Varen Mathwin,
graciously variant variability of the vaudevillian. You can call me V.
Really? Huh. I didn't see that one fucking coming.
You can call me S. Wait, what? No, you just did a whole fucking monologue.
Yes, and they all started with S. It was silent, you uneducated swine. This is why I just had to save your ass from those guys. It was easy to get away. The fuck were you doing?
Varen is a big character, as we all know. Varen is, she kind of like starts
small.
Out, she kind of like starts out like
little.
Little, yeah, just like, oh, you're, oh, hello, random, you know, Aes Sedai.
Random named
Brown
Aes Sedai.
Aja. That we don't care about. And then she, her first,
oh, hi,
the first
Forgettable
sign,
and Forgettable, also known as Alana and Varen.
The first thing she does is that's kind of like, that lets you know she's a little bit hip, is she gives Egwene the dream Tirangriel, right?
That's not the first time she does.
That says that she's a little bit different, a little bit more significant.
I don't know. Varen showing up after Shinar to the hunters to the Shinarans hunting the horn seems pretty like, and then being like, oh, the Amyrlin scent. I don't know. That's where I started questioning Varen.
No, I didn't, because there was a whole gaggle of them that showed up. It was wasn't. Oh, we're Aes Sedai. We got to stick our noses into big
events.
There were 14 that showed up in Shinar. There's one that showed up with the Hunters for the Horn. And her name is Varen. She's the only one. And she says that Moraine sent her to go hang out with Matt and Perrin and Rand and
Kieran,
Loyal and everybody. Yeah. That's when I was like, really? Moraine sent you? Because she never mentioned you before. Why are you all of a sudden being like, see, why didn't Moraine show up with them?
Varen's one of the ones that pop up and find Rand trying to erase the blood, the words written in blood on the wall of the dungeons in Faldara. Yes. He's like, huh, that's pretty fucking suspicious.
Yeah.
And then she's sitting there reading suspicious. It, and she's the one that says that she accurately surmises that the verse that says, the man who channels stands alone is a reference to the Dragon Reborn. And because of everything going on, and, oh, I don't know, here's this random farm boy who was not worried about the blood, but focused on scraping shit off the walls. One of these three boys is probably him. I mean, she's an incredibly smart person, but you don't have to have a degree in, like, astrophysics to be able to figure out what's going on here. Like,
but at this point, okay, and maybe I'm just missing it. Maybe this is, like, my inability to catch on to, like, the subtleties.
Well, the first step to fixing a problem is admitting that you have one. Love you.
Damn.
But up until this point, up until she, up until this point, she is a featured extra in my mind. It's like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. She's a plot device. Like, we got to move things along. You're not wrong. She does kind of help Rand out. But again, she's already aligned. She's already said that she's like a friend of Moraine. You know, we're doing all this stuff. We're doing, okay, cool, whatever. And my brain is going, there are factions within the White Tower. Moraine's already kind of explained this to us. Cool. But the first time she really does something that sets her apart, at least in my mind, that deviates from, yes, I am Aes Sedai, who's a member of this faction who opposes this faction. And we're trying to, you know, we're trying to play around each other. The first time she does that is when she gives the dream Tirangriel to Egwene. And she says, oh, by the way, nobody even knows I have that. It's not logged with the White Tower. Don't tell anyone you have it. And like that moment right there, I kind of go, oh, you, there's more to you. There's more to you than what is beneath the brown dress and ink-stained face and there's more to this woman.
I thought there was more after she like gave Rand a hint at how to use the portal stones.
See, again, that's the point where I'm kind of like Brown sister. I've studied all the subjects in the Tarvelin Library, and there was a section upon, you know, I mean, like that's like any wizard you have traveling with you, right? Yes, I have studied from the manual.
Yes, Josh, it's interesting that if you give a justification for all of the other interesting things that she does before
that... What would be the justification for having a Tirangriel that the rest of the White Tower doesn't know about?
Are you kidding? Even at that point in the story, they're actually pretty clear that the Aes Sedai are... Or at least that there are some Aes Sedai who are very hungry. And the fact that she got a hold of a Tirangriel that nobody knew what to do with and was sitting there studying it, again, what is she? A brown. She's a wizard. She's going
to
sit
but
there and
she
look
gave
at
it to Egwene.
Yeah, because she realizes that Egwene might actually be able to fucking use it, whereas she's been sitting there the whole time being like, well, this shit is stupid.
I mean, like, I think her having it is very common because we already know, or we know at least from later on, that all the Tiara Grial that the White Tower knows about are pretty closely guarded, kept, you know, in storage. They're very well logged at who has them. You can only have them for a certain amount of time before, you know, the freaking library police come for you and like, oh, you forgot to check your Tiara Grial back in. Where is it?
Hey,
but the part where the Tiara
Grial police. Wait, gelato's not vegan? Milk and egg.
But the part where she gives it to Egwene does seem counterintuitive to the normalcy of Aes Sedai trying to hold on to Tiara Grial, especially a brown sister wanting to study it and figure out, like, yeah, I think it's weirder that as an Aes Sedai, she intentionally aids a male channeler who she is not certain but fairly confident is the Dragon Reborn to channel and basically uses the portal stones and their entire party as a litmus test for, is it him? Oh, yeah, it's fucking him. Oh, well, how important are these other people? Hey, why don't you five ride forth?
Yeah.
You know, like the prophecy says, and go and do the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, but maybe honestly, and maybe this is part of the big picture, right?
This is totally fine. We, as we talked about already, we are three different people. And so
Yeah.
Latching on to a different part of Varen. But one of the things that I will say that latches all of this together is that I think everyone realizes that Varen is not as meek and small and unimportant as she seems right from the get-go when they just say, oh, Varen's here, when she shows up with the other 13 sisters and the Amyrlin seat in Faldara. But where that is a question. Because at some point, it always being Varen means something. Even if everything that she does is small, even if every single activity that she does isn't that obtrusive, at some point you go, okay, but it's always Varen, though.
Why is it whenever something happens, it's always you, Varen?
It's always you. No, and this is where I was just getting ready to go, is maybe that's one of those story points. You know, maybe that's one of those things that Robert Jordan did to be like, here's a little breadcrumb. Here's a little breadcrumb. Absolutely. Here's a little breadcrumb. Here's a little breadcrumb.
I don't even think that.
Here's a whole fucking loaf of bread! And you're just like, oh,
and here at the end, here's it burning. Get fucked.
I think retrospectively, looking at this as people that have finished the series and know kind of where Varen's story goes, I think that the things she does that kind of subtly make her very suspicious, she does very intentionally to make the good people think she is suspicious.
Hell yeah.
Because reasons.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I agree with that statement.
There are certain things, because of what she has taken upon herself, there are certain things she can't avoid having to do.
Yes. Well, and of course, it's interesting because Varen has to be playing both sides so hard. Because, spoiler alert, just going to say it right now because I'm sick of dancing around this topic. I know, but Varen's Black Aja. That's absolutely what she is. She has taken oaths to the shadow that circumvent and supersede her oaths that she made as an Aes Sedai. However,
she's
completely a double agent. She is absolutely
so good.
A Black Aja sister so that she can do the most good as a not Black Aja sister. And so it's a magical world. She has certain things that she must do, that she is effectively forced to do based on these oaths that she has taken so that she can get behind enemy lines. But also she does everything at every turn to try and help as much as she possibly can to make sure that the forces of the light at the end of the story beat her masters. And there is a lot of play there, and there's a lot of happy medium. And of course, she spends a lot of time doing all of that stuff. And then at the end, when she feels it's the right time, she goes, cool. So I'm going to tell you every single thing that I know, and I'm going to have to die to do it. So here is me dying to give you all of the information. And if she had done that book 2, she wouldn't have been able to gather as much. If she had done that book 5, she wouldn't have been as effective. But she does it later on while still giving everybody an indication earlier that she is what she is. And following orders that she is required to follow to get as much information as she possibly can so that at the right moment she can turn.
So let's talk more about Josh's point, because it's not until after Varen learns that Egwene is part of the group tasked with hunting down the Black Aja.
Correct.
That she gives her the Sleepweaver Taron Greal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Knowing what we know from seeing Egwene and others do things in Teleron Riad, like going into Elida's office and reading all the notes and stuff and letters she gets from that box, I think it's easy to assume that Varen was hoping or hedging on the bet that even though she didn't give Egwene a bunch of notes that would be useful, that by giving her access to Teleron Riad easily, that she could find the notes, and it would actually made her job a lot easier because now she can move around and look at things in a world where most people can't see her or, you know, believe that she was actually there.
Well, and of course, again, one of the things that's fascinating to me and brilliant to me about this is you are now assuming that every sister in the White Tower is Black Aja, except for which three? Is it maybe the one who sent you on the mission? The keeper for that one who sent you on the mission? And the one who just gave you your strongest fucking tool to do your mission? Yeah, they're not going and checking out Varen at all.
Again, as we go back and we look at these crumbs that Robert Jordan has given us about Varen, she's brilliant.
She is.
She's mind-bogglingly brilliant. And you talk about the first Aes Sedai in probably ever who not only went, okay, one, the Black Aja exists. Two, you know, I think she was forced into it. I think it was one of those like either join us or die kind of a situation. And in that moment, she went, my life can be of no service to the White Tower if I'm dead. I guess I'll be a Black Aja double agent. Yes, sign me up for Black Aja. One Black Aja, please. and then takes it a step further by saying, I'm Aes Sedai. I can parse words with the best of them. Let's see. I can't betray the Dark One until the hour of my death. Cool. So that means if I take a poison that will take an hour to kill me, I'll be able to tell everyone about it in that hour.
Yep.
And then like even doubles down even further, like quadruples down at this point in time by saying, I'm not going to just tell anyone. I'm going to tell the person who I know can get the job done.
Yes.
And that's why she's, when you start looking, she's involved herself with Egwene and Nynaeve and Elaine. These women that are coming into the tower, they're so powerful. She's involving herself with them going, are they worthy to receive this intel so that we can move forward and root out this evil inside the White Tower?
Yeah.
Varen is, this is why she gets a spot in our back down breakdown, because she does have a lot of story presence, but she's because she's not a main character. She really is. She has a lot of face time, but she's not a main character.
Correct.
But damn, she is one of these background characters, one of these tertiary characters, if you will, word of the night, who really sells the story. And without her, there's an essence, there's a flavor, a richness that just wouldn't be there.
Well, and I know that we say this for all of these characters, but I think that's why we've picked them from the, at least from the beginning. We may get down to a character who ends up not being this because we've, you know, started getting deeper and deeper into the background characters. But let's be honest, Talmanes, Aludra, Varen, we're talking about people that the light doesn't win with. We're talking about people who don't get all of the screen time. And again, that's not to diminish that we don't do it without Rand, we don't do it without Egwene, we don't do it without Nynaeve, we don't do it without all of the main characters either. I'm completely on board with that. I don't want to diminish anybody, but I absolutely want to elevate these people to these characters to where they belong. Because again, Varin is so in the background. I mean, not so much to us, the reader, because again, she keeps on popping up and popping up in where it matters, but random Aes Sedai in the tower, even important Aes Sedai in the tower, they don't give a fuck about Varin. She's a brown sister who's just kind of quiet, absent-minded, research-driven, all of that different stuff. And it's very the Prestige. To me, Varin is absolutely Christian Bale in the press.
Oh, yeah.
Where she has, she puts on an act. She has a whole lifestyle that she lives to be as unobtrusive as possible so that she can be everywhere she needs to be whenever she needs to be there. And then at the end, she reveals that she was a twin the whole time. And you're like, you motherfucker.
Well, and let's talk about just how good she is at this persona.
No, Alana's not so her Michael Caine. Alana's her Hugh Jackman.
She is so good at living this persona that even Moraine, with how good she is and how perceptive she is, she says, I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something about her that just ain't right.
Yeah.
We should not trust her. Don't trust her. Just keep both eyes open when you're around.
Something about her tickles my taint. Not in a good way, more like a finger through the toilet paper, unexpected kind of way.
No, but even Moraine, like we understand Moraine is, she's damn good at what she does. I mean, her and Tom are like super good at rooting out secrets. And even Moraine couldn't root out that Varin was a Black Aja double agent. That's how good.
Well, she couldn't even root out that she was Black Aja, let alone a Black Aja double agent.
Yeah.
I will throw out there, to be fair to Moraine, it is kind of funny in that case, because you know what a Black Aja double agent looks a lot like? A good person who walks in the light.
Ooh.
Just like,
God, the White Cloaks would be having a time of their life right now if they were here.
Oh, of course they would. But no, I mean, like, again, when you're acting as much as you can, like you follow the shadow while also not actually following the shadow and fucking up the shadow, it's amazing how, like, not actually shadowy you look.
Yeah, well, and they do that time and time again throughout the stories too, right? You know, it's so beautiful how Robert Jordan does this. Sometimes the bad people are the very attractive, very charismatic, very happy people with no problems. What's going on? I'll kill you. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
And so basically what you're saying is some of them look like Andrew. And then there are the ones who are actually good people who are all gnarled and gross, fat, stupid,
some of them are
ugly.
Gloriously beautiful like Andrew, yes.
And then some of them are me.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that. But
for just a dollar a month on our Patreon, you too can help us get Daniel new glasses.
For just a dollar a month, you too can help an Asherman get plastic surgery so that he looks less like a piece of shit. Somebody in the podcast needs
our patrons,
rhinoplasty. And I won't
tell you.
Our patrons
have got to be listening right now being like.
But,
our patrons have got to be listening right now being like, wow, this is where my money goes.
No, not yet. We definitely don't have enough Patreon money to go ahead and get anybody plastic surgery.
That's true.
Or new glasses. Have you seen the price of new glasses? Are you kidding me?
I have not. Thankfully.
Yeah, you with your 2020 vision over there. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't have 2020 vision. Just the glasses won't help. What's wrong with me?
The other, I think.
I don't have 2020 vision. I have 2020 hindsight, though.
I think the other thing that really sells it for Brandon is she's.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Andrew was, you know, it was a good run.
I think he's actually just going and getting a drink, but he did pick a great time to run.
I feel like the other thing that sells it for Varen is she's not afraid to get her hands dirty. When they do the portal stones, she doesn't say, "Why don't you try that out?" She's like, "Let's do this."
Yeah.
When she's interviewing the captive Aiel wise ones, and she's laying compulsion and forgetfulness weaves, and when she's doing these things, she's doing them, and mm-hmm. she's able to come in, gain the trust of the wise ones, get their favor to allow her to interview / interrogate the captive wise ones, and the whole time she's going, if I get busted, I'm so that again, that really sells it. She's and that's where you start to see too that, oh damn, she is dangerous because can do things that nobody knows she can do.
One of the interesting things that always stuck with me was, even from my very first read through, there was a line that Robert Jordan kept on using, I would say during the first four books. Because again, as stated, Varen's not actually in that much of any of the first four books. But she does have quite a number of appearances across all of them.
Yes, quite a number of appearances.
Appearances, yes.
We got appearances. We got Joseph Herbert, Robert Jordan. Can't even say it how you said it. You like threw it like an A in there.
Robert Jordan. But there is it's variations on this theme every time. And he's describing Varen, and he goes, you know, very absent-minded, very faraway look. And then all of a sudden, she seemed very present. She seemed very with it. Very bird-eyed, and I think is one of the things that he says in one of the descriptions. And then says something very off-kilter, and then just goes back to, oh, those are pretty.
Goes back to Luna Lovegood.
That's 100% what it is. Like, seriously, it's very much like, it protects from the Nargles. Yeah. The Dragon Reborn is revealed, and it's you. Oh, my dad says that Nargles are very, like, what the fuck?
Her, I'd love to see Varen Mathwin as like a D&D character chart. Her charisma and wisdom and intelligence are like
probably her strength insane. Is very low.
Yeah, strength is probably pretty low.
Dexterity, maybe pretty a little solid bit
constitution
low.
To withstand that poison for an hour.
Yeah.
Well, I think she had the intelligence to choose a very smart poison. Okay, my constitution score is 4. That means that this poison that would normally kill people in 6 hours, it'll do me in 1. All right, let's
go. Cool. Let's go. The other thing that gets me about her is how perceptive she is. And you know, of course, that's not a big thing because she's a brown sister, and that's what they, well, wait, hold on. Let me reverse that. That is a big thing because she's a brown sister, and brown sisters are not known for their perceptiveness. They're known to be lost in a book or wandering, you know, in a daze, you know, studying something, hyper-focusing on something.
Exactly. I was going to say, that's not 100% fair to Brown Sisters, because I think it's really that they take all of their perception and hone it in on a single task. And so they are incredibly perceptive to everything that they're concentrating on. And anything else.
Let me rephrase
that. And so, yes, I agree with what you're saying, just not necessarily.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that, because other sisters will look at them and say, oh, my God, their heads are in the clouds. They are just totally removed from the real world altogether. When, in fact, what it is they are hyper-focused on a topic and or concept that they are trying to understand.
And who actually discovers the most about that one kind of bird that flies around Tar Valon? That one Brown sister. And she probably loses so many things in the process because they're not important right now.
The one that particularly impressed me was Varen. Perrin is coming through, he's all dropping around. They go into a town, they go into an inn, and lo and behold, Varen is there, and she goes, oh, so you're the Tavirin that's got me caught in its web. And everybody's like, huh? And Perrin's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm just trying to do my thing here. And she's like, no,
I'm just a blacksmith.
I've been trying to leave this town for the last week, and I can't because
and every of time you. A wheel breaks or a horse goes lame or a Lana vomits or
she would check into a room and she would try to spend time getting to another room so she could weave a gateway, and the innkeeper would come up and say, oh, sorry, we got to move you to another room. One inn straight up burned down. And the whole time she's going, why can't I leave? I just want to leave. Something is the pattern is keeping me here for a reason. And then when Perrin shows up, she goes, oh, okay. Okay.
This fucking guy. Cool.
We're doing this. Cool. Stop, Perrin. And Perrin's just like, okay, Aes Sedai, Brown Sister, you're reading into it way too much.
And yet, at the back of his mind, you know immediately that Perrin's like, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Varen, she's bringing up she's making a lot of good points right now.
You know, she's out of line, but she's right. So okay,
You're talking about, like, Perrin showing up as what was keeping her there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Perrin rolls into town.
Well, like, when was this? Like, where was she? This isn't in Tyr, right?
No.
Or Trustair?
No. I think it was before later then. I think it's later as well, yeah.
There's not much later on.
Hold on. Let's take... Tyr? Internet machines.
Well, so eventually she goes to Tyr because she's trying to go back to Tar Valon. But it's Matt's Tavir nature that draws her to Trust Air.
Well, Varen is very important to the pattern, as we've just established.
Because that's where...
So it would make sense that anytime she gets near a Tavir and she gets...
Well, yeah. In. But it's like she's trying to go to Tar Valon, but because of different interruptions, she keeps trying to travel and winds up exiting in the wrong place, even skimming to the wrong place because of an offhanded comment by Thomas. And that's when she guesses that Tavir Pool is the source. And then she distributes pictures of Matt and Perrin to try to locate them, and then meets with the Band of the Red Hand and offers to take them directly to Camelot if Matt will agree to follow a letter of instructions that she leaves with him.
That is definitely after what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. That's towards the end. That's when Varen's like, okay, I know all these things that are happening. And again, that's her working away around the oaths to the Dark One, to the Shadow. Because she's saying, if I give them the hour and day that they are to open this letter, then I've betrayed nothing until they open the letter.
Yes.
So she's found a loophole to where she's able to write a letter, give it to someone, and say, do not open this until blah, blah, blah. And Matt, being stupid, never opens it.
I mean,
well, opens it too late.
So
I can't recall. I can't recall that happening with her and Perrin, which is why I'm asking like where that happens, because I recall it happening with Matt, and then I recall the instance of Rance to Viren affecting her so strongly that she swears fealty to him.
Yes.
After Demise Wells, I don't remember her being pulled in by Perrin's to Viren nature.
Are you too, okay? Hold on.
It's too bad.
Are we talking about the time? Does she actually say that to Rand when she's trying to get to the tower from the Two Rivers with all the girls? When Alana bonds him, is that conversation?
You know what? I think Andrew. I think you're correct. I think I'm thinking of Matt, because Matt shows up in the town and she even shows him wanted posters, right?
Well, she's been distributing pictures of Matt and Perrin to try to find them.
And Perrin.
Because she knows it's not Rand in the area that's keeping her there by Tavirin nature. Because she pretty much already figures
all
these weird coincidences, like you said, it's got to be something like Tavirin nature keeping her there.
You are absolutely correct. I am off. It was Matt, not Perrin. Woo!
Well, we got there. We have our substitute fact check Mihail, which is also the Bijan Mihail.
That's true.
But I do actually want to talk for a second about, based on a response here, about her relationship with Alana. Because we've talked about it a little bit, because we've talked about, Alana before.
But they travel together.
What do we actually think that relationship is? Personally, I will go first and say that I definitely think that Alana is pawn. That's absolutely to me what she is. And Varen has found a little bit of a tower pariah even before she bonds Rand. And then she, of course, becomes a complete tower pariah, even though she's a useful tower pariah. And basically just convinces her to do a bunch of things that she like already has the proclivity for, but wouldn't necessarily do on her own, so that Varen doesn't have to do them. And so she travels with Alana, I think, because she's Varen's patsy in some ways. And again, I'm not saying that I don't think that she has some fondness for Alana. I think she actually does. But at the same time, I definitely think that she's definitely more manipulation than anything else.
We've talked about this before. I don't remember when. And I think we had a guest when we talked about it. But we talked about the Alana and Varen dynamic before. And we explored the ideas of them actually being friends. That maybe Varen, because she knows that what she's got going on being a double agent or secret agent of the Black Aja. And that Alana's already a bit of a pariah kind of thing in the White Tower, that she feels a bit of a kinship to her. But we also have talked about the idea that she used Alana, which isn't exclusive to the first idea, that she used Alana to do things that she felt needed to be done, but she couldn't do herself without drawing too much attention on her that would then stop her from doing and we're gathering the intel she does. Because I know we talked about it potentially being Varen's idea that Alana bonds Rand at any cost. And basically over time, Deus DeMars her into doing it because she knows. Because one thing Varen distributes
she
to
her.
One thing that Varen showcases to what I honestly believe to a higher degree than Moraine does. Not very much higher, but still higher. Is an intimate knowledge and understanding of the prophecies of the dragon, of the Corinthian cycle. Because when she is with Perrin, she's like, oh, when is he going to give up his axe? Because she knows the passage, when the Wolf King carries a hammer, thus are the final days known. So she's watching Perrin, because she's like, yeah, it's about to fucking go down when he gets rid of the axe and carries a fucking hammer.
It's about to go down.
Same thing. She instigates
down.
Yeah, she instigates Rand and like I said earlier, the five going into Falma, you know, for the five go forward and four return kind of thing. So she could through her understanding of the prophecies of the dragon, understand that Rand is going to be seriously wounded, and there's some part of the prophecy that indicate that if he doesn't get something that's going to bolster his vitality, that it's not going to go well. And so she might manipulate Alana into doing something that is inherently abhorrent for the greater good. Kind of a very, very much strikes me as an ends justify the means character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think,
well, I think, I mean, she does, like, manipulate. Even I think her initial joining of the shadow is very much ends justify the means. Cause again, I think Josh has it right on the nose as far as I believe you are correct. And she wasn't really given a choice, except that she is actually someone who walks in the light, and therefore, when given the choice between death or serving the shadow, anyone who is actually a follower of the light should choose death. That is the only choice if you are a follower of the light when you are given that choice. Unless you're fucking Varen. And then you
because that also gains her unfettered access to the dark prophecies, yeah, or the prophecies of the shadow or whatever, mm-hmm, whatever they're called. I forgot what they're called. But so now, like, she's looking
prophecies at prophecies of my taint.
Now she's looking at both sides of the coin, and now you can start drawing parallels and things, you know, looking at the prophecies of the dragon as, like, here's when things go right, and the prophecies of the shadow, like, here's how things go bad, and here's things that I can do or get other people to do that will at least hedge our bets towards, you know, the right or good things happening. Because, I mean, mm-hmm, she is a brown. She wants knowledge. And if you already have a pretty good understanding of the prophecies before you, like in front of you, then what better than to get the other side of the story?
And I love where you're going with that too, about how she's a very ends justifies the means type of person. And before we just kind of write that off and say, oh, well, that's just how she is, she's also one of the few people who understand the completeness of the situation that they face. I would say that she has a better view of the big picture than probably anybody else in the story at this time. Mm. She does have Alana with her, and I agree, Daniel, that Alana is probably more of a pawn than anything. They probably do have, you know, she probably does have, you know, friendship type feelings for Alana. And I have to believe that at some point, you know, there are nights where Varen just says, God, this sucks.
She just, you know, looks at Alana like, friend. I'm sorry, little one. But you have to bond him. You have to.
But
I would do it myself, but then they'd know. You gotta. Yeah,
exactly. That kind of thing.
But like, why? You gotta.
Yeah. But I think she does the same thing. Sorry, go ahead, Josh. I didn't mean to cut you.
No, off. I was just gonna say she's got more of a grasp on how truly fucked they are at this point in time than probably anybody else. So does she do some things that are sketchy as hell? Yeah, she does. And she does things that any spy would do to push the agenda forward and make sure that we are victorious and we stand in the light after Tarvin Guyton.
And yeah, she is definitely one of those people who knows where the line is that she has to cross to prove to people she's an undercover cop.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what she is in this particular thing, where she is so deep undercover and she absolutely has to do certain things to prove what she is to get where she needs to go.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm thinking that she does the same thing. Sorry, I'm answering a question in chat as well. Mm-hmm. She does the same thing, because after they cleanse the taint on Sidene, she just poof, she disappears. But she leaves Rand a letter saying to trust no Aes Sedai other than Cadswain. That she's the only Aes Sedai that Rand should trust, regardless of the oaths. And I think that ties back into her understanding of the prophecies. That she knows that Cadswain is the one that's going to teach him something he has to know, that he must learn how to laugh and how to smile again. Because if you think about it, it's Cadswain's pushing and everything that pushes the meeting between that kind of not final, but that last meeting between Rand and Tam. And that's a breaking point where Rand goes. And after that, he basically relearns how to be human. You know, he, you know, Zen's out, or Bodhisattva's out, as we've learned from our friends, the puppets.
The puppets?
Yeah. But I mean, I think...
The honorary felt Ashaman?
Yeah. The Ashaman of the felt Aja?
The little Ashaman.
We have Gar. We don't have Ajas. We have Gar.
The felt Gar? I don't know what the old tongue word for felt is, but...
I don't know if they have one. I just like Feltgar. Let's do it.
Yeah. A Feltgar. Did you do to my Gar?
You think about it too, Varen. I don't know that they ever talk about.
I barely know Gar.
I don't know that they talk about like her channeling ability. Like, you know, she can channel so much, and I know that like when you start trying to quantify how much people can channel versus how much other people can channel, they don't really talk about where she stands rank. Yeah.
But we know like she's strong. Wise. She made
We know full, she's strong in the power.
She made full Aes Sedai in 11 years.
Yeah. Wicked smart. Wicked smart. And a really strong Aes Sedai. And when you start putting her into these places.
How do you like them again, apples?
Breadcrumb. All of a sudden she's at the battle where they're cleansing Sidon and she's fucking giving him the business. And at this point in time, I think she's got to kind of be thinking, yeah, my cover's blown. Not entirely, but people now know I'm not just some, you know, vague and hazy person who's, you know, hyper-focused on a single thing. They've got to know that I'm more than what I claim to be at this point in time. And I imagine that puts her in a position to start moving her plans forward, probably at an accelerated rate. And in a lot of characters, when they start doing this, when they start pushing those plans, when they start pushing those things to go forward, a lot of times they make mistakes and they start slipping up and they get sloppy and they, but not Varen. Like, she's an example of a character whose plans were executed flawlessly, with the one exception of the letter she gave to Matt. She bet on Matt's curiosity over his disdain
of sort of. Because the letter does get opened. Matt does not open it.
Right.
But Talmanis does. Right. And so the information does actually get where it needs to go, because Talmanis brings it up to Matt again. Later than she wants it to happen. Later than she hopes Matt will do it. But at the same time, she is successful at getting that information where it needs to go. It's just
too late, though. Too late, though. I mean, it did allow them to mount some type of defense.
Well, they get most, if not, out. They get almost everybody evacuated, which is really what it was all about. The city still burns.
Yes.
And if Matt had known about it and the time frame that Varen had wanted him to, they could have destroyed the waygate, they could have closed the waygate, they could have put guards around and made sure nothing came through, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And that's what I'm saying. That's probably the one mistake in her plan.
Well,
and that's not even her fault, really. That's Matt being a shit.
I was actually just about to say that, though, is... I think that Varen... this is one of those moments where I'm actually reading realistically into things that people do that aren't on the page that isn't as nice. Because most of the time when people are like... what I mean is, like, when I think about Min and what she's doing for Rand outside of what's just on the page, I'm very forgiving and I'm very kind to Min. And she might not actually even do all of that stuff, but I'm giving her a lot of credit for doing more outside the page than is just exactly what's on the page. And I'm like, Min is not a fucking lamp.
I know in my heart from reading this story that she's doing all of these things. How are you not critically thinking X? This right. is one of the moments where I'm actually doing a little bit of the opposite. Or actually, not the opposite, the compliment. Because I definitely think that a lot of Varen's plans go that way. I absolutely think that Varen is a very smart cookie, but that she has so many plans and so many restrictions that I think there are a lot of times where Varen has to follow all of those rules and goes, all right, I have to do it this way. So here you go. And then eventually it falls into place, sure, because again, I think Varen is smart enough to get it to get there. But I think there are a lot of places in the story where I at least can easily imagine Varen's handiwork being there and it not going off without a hitch.
Right.
It going off with complications and it going off with problems and it going off not exactly point A to point B. But if the goal is here and she's trying to get it from A to B, and what actually ends up happening is that it goes from A to B to C to D to E to F to G, it's still here.
Right.
It just took a lot more parts to get there than she planned for.
Well, I mean, she's not new to this. By the time the story exactly. starts,
yeah.
she's been Black Aja for 69 giggity years. Nice. And by the time she hands Egwene this fucking encyclopedia of here's all your enemies that you don't even know, she's handing her 71 years of intel.
Yeah. No.
Could you imagine right now if the story broke right now that we had a spy in the Chinese government for the last 71 years and he just handed over
oh, yeah.
all of his intel? Like, that would be incredibly damaging for any modern nation.
Oh, yeah.
Now put
oh,
it,
yeah. Absolutely.
Now put it in the scope of the book. Here is what the Shadow has been up to and planning the best I can tell for the last 71 years.
Yep.
Like, this isn't
a
book.
All coming to
this
an
is
head.
A fucking book.
Yeah.
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 This is the encyclopedia de fuck-ups.
Well, and especially, again, look at the real world thing. How many times have mafia families been taken down by an inside man from
insider,
the
insider, yep.
And that
it's
usually
only been there for a couple
even,
years.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Most of them have been there for less than 10. In fact, I think the average for an like a double agent, like inside man for something like a sting operation on a mafia family or whatever is like 3 years.
Right.
Now, I appreciate that the Shadow is way bigger than a mafia. I get that. I'm on board. But again, you're taking the average and multiplying it by like 30. Not quite. So even if the Shadow is 30 mafia families, you're still fucking okay.
Well, and what do we learn? And what do we learn from the great captains? You know, we had this discussion in the pre-show. The great captains, they plan, and then they plan for contingencies, and then mm-hmm. they plan contingencies for those contingencies, and then yes. they plan contingencies for those contingencies. And
the only thing they don't plan for is Grendel.
I mean, they can't really plan. I mean, but Varen is a great captain in that sense. Her own right, where you know you've got a good point. A lot of her plans do kind of go awry, but it's like
do they though?
It's like when you like grab a cup and you're like getting ready to pour some milk and you almost drop it, but then you catch it and you're like, yeah, I did that, I'm good. Like that's Varen. It's like yeah. you know, when it's about to fall, when it's about to drop, she's like, I got it. And she makes it look good, like she makes yeah. it look like she did it on purpose. I can see that. I can see yeah. that.
That is my thought on it. Because again, I mean, there are so many other people who just don't even have their plans go anywhere near right ever. And you're just like, nope. And that's human. Like, that's nope. absolutely human. But then there's Varen, who seems to always get her way. Even if it doesn't go exactly right, she still gets what she wants done, even if it's a week later, even if it's a month later, even if it's, you know, whatever later, she still makes it happen. And to right. that, I give full credit for. Because again, while I'm not as nice to Varen as I am to other characters that I think do mostly good things off screen, and Varen, right. I think actually we see all of the times where her plans go perfectly on screen, and I'm pretty sure off screen a lot of them go less perfectly. I still respect the shit out of her because her plans do go successfully just about every time.
Yes.
They always get to the end of it.
Oh, found the answer for why Varen gives Egwene the Sleepweaver Tauriel.
Oh.
So she was ordered to hold the notes from Corianne and then Nadal by the Black Osra Supreme Council. But after the Amyrlin ordered her to help Egwene, she had to give her something. She couldn't just do nothing, or she would look too suspicious. So
she was kind of backed into a corner. Okay, so that's a perfect example of, you know, her trying to do her thing and getting sidelined or getting, you know, but compensating well in a way that is less suspicious, because at the time it's rumored that Egwene is a dreamer. Everybody's like, ooh, she might be the first dreamer in the tower for 100 years.
The next Corianne. Jesus Christ. Stop it with the faces. Please, you're hurting me.
I will never!
What you drinking there, Josh? Is it poison? Mountain, are you going to tell us all your poison. Secrets for the next hour?
A bit of poison. Mountain Dew Rise. Oh, that looks cool.
That does actually look pretty cool. Yeah, so last thoughts on Varen, unless anybody wants to jump into anything very sort of specific. She does not actually make it to the end of the story. Obviously, she does poison herself, and she does actually follow through with dying.
I think it sucks because she was trying to, she was looking for the oath rod to release herself from the oaths so that she could take a cure and not die. But they were using the oath rod to catch Black Sisters, and she couldn't get a hold of it.
So she actually did kind of get caught.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Right? Live by the oath rod, die by
the oath rod. Die by the oath rod, which I think should be the title of this episode.
Actually, isn't it kind of live by lack of the oath rod, die by lack of the oath rod?
I don't know. Whatever the case is. It'll be fun either way. No, but she does. She takes that. She says, yeah, I was hoping to weasel my way out of this. Again, another instance of her finding loopholes that she can exploit.
Yes.
She goes in there, she takes the poison, she gives Egwene everything, she dies. And Egwene, you know, just real quick on her feet, puts her into bed, puts a blanket on her, starts studying, knows she's going to get checked on soon. You know, the lady checks on her and she says, oh yeah, she fell asleep, sorry. And it just, God, it's so heartbreaking. That whole scene is, you know, and Varen dropping that bomb, you know, oh, by the way, Egwene, the dress you're wearing is green. And Egwene just like, that's probably one of the biggest oh shit moments in the book. Like, wait, what did Varen just say?
Well, and I love how nonchalant it is.
Right.
Like, it's not the bombshell you're expecting. It's not the bombshell where you're expecting Varen to do this in a big pomp and circumstance way where she goes, oh, and by the way, Egwene, I have been Black Aja my entire for 71 years, and let me tell you all of the wonderful things I've discovered. She goes, oh yeah, and by the way, that dress is green.
And we had just learned that Black Sisters can lie. Black Aja can lie because they have been released from the oath rod, being given a new set of oaths that allows them to lie through their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just the play that they've done, and they focus so much on that, on those oaths and how the rod binds them to those oaths. And then Varen just comes out and she just pow. And it's just, oh, it's, and I think that's, again, another reason why she gets this breakdown is well deserved, because she has one of the biggest oh shit moments in the book.
She does.
And she just plops it right out there and gives her life in the service of the light, and of the tower and to humanity. And she was a hero. And I love Varen so much. She's just one of the best. She's great. And that's my final thoughts on it. Before I start crying.
No, I agree. I think Varen from the jump is actually one of those people, or one of those characters, who is so much more than she seems. And just has some of the best development, not necessarily as like her personality of character in so many ways, but in the writing of the character. I think that the development of the character itself and every piece that you find out, and as Josh said, just that breadcrumb after breadcrumb after breadcrumb, that by the end of the story, by the end of Varen's story, you have a full, just beautiful brioche bun that you're sitting there looking at being like, motherfucker. Like, I didn't even totally realize how much I wanted this. I didn't even realize how much this makes me happy.
Yeah.
And even with the way that Varen goes, I mean, like, again, it makes me sad. It does, especially because, again, any time that a character gives their life for others, I am always, you know, a huge fan of that character. But, you know, her story is tragic, but it's also so triumphant. And I really love the way that it starts out so humble, and so unobtrusive. And by the end of that arc, you are so developed and you are so invested. And when she tells you that she's doing this, you're like, is there any way that she cannot do it, though?
Right? Like,
is it possible? Like, what do we need?
They're going to save her, right? They're going to save her, right?
As you said, I mean, we, the audience, know exactly what she needs to do in some ways. And we're just like, but she can't, though. And it's one of those tragic character stories that is also just so wonderfully wholesome at the same
time. Very early on, especially after Leandrin, it's like every time I meet an Aes Sedai and I'm like, how's she gonna fuck everybody over?
Right.
And so, like, Varen with her little oddities and stuff here, like, I was always just kind of like, I'm like, oh yeah, Robert Jordan's setting her up to betray people. You know, I can see it from a mile away. And then you get the scene where Egwene walks in and Varen's just there and she's like, have a seat. And I'm like, don't do that. And then she's like, I'm Black Aja. And I'm like, fucking dip, bro, go. And then she's like, but I drink poison because I've actually been a double agent. And I'm like,
I'm sorry, what? No.
I was like, I saw the being bad. I didn't see the being good. Like, all right, you got me, RJ. Good shit. that was me. Like, and that's just something I did. Like, because so many of the ICI turned out to be just absolute class A shit people, there's plenty of them that turn to be really good.
Sure.
That whenever I don't know how an Aes Sedai is doing or what their angle is, I just assume they're bad.
Like, oh yeah.
Like, nope, they're just bad.
Yep.
And I was kind of right, that. But
yeah,
just because she was a bad guy does not mean she is bad guy. So it wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't really feel like it was a sad scene. I didn't like get really sad over it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the way I was reading and like being cautious of Varen would kind of necessitate that I stayed detached from the character.
Sure.
So
sure.
I agree that it's sad, but for me, it's like,
when is George R. R. Martin killing this character? Not going to like them. I refuse. I'm not going to do it. Because if they lose their head, I will not be sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the better arcs that we it's see in the story from such a sporadic thing and then her just disappearing for a good while and then coming back. I think it's one of the better ways that that a character arc was resolved within the Wheel of Time. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. And it kind of kind of gave one of those last like good pushes for the White Tower.
So. Yeah.
It is good. Well, does anybody have anything else they want to spread all over this delicious brioche bun of amazingness that we've baked before you?
Her warder was already a dark friend when she met him.
It is part of how she got coerced. Yes, she was actually nabbed by the other black sisters, effectively, thanks to her dark friend warder.
But he basically tells her that, like, I don't want to be the bad guy anymore, but the dark one isn't letting go of me. And she's like, well, let's work together and use this to our
advantage. How about we fuck with them?
Let's turn our disadvantage into the light's advantage.
Oh, by that way, by the way, that cloak you're wearing is... What color is it?
Yeah, and I was just about to say this. Snakes and Foxes put it in the live chat, but yeah, I think... How he spends his last hour after poisoning himself as well is very wholesome. He spends it with his family. Varen tells Egwene, you know, like, oh, yeah, my warder, he's poisoned himself as well, and he's spending this last hour with his family.
Yeah.
So
good. It's just the whole...
Top 10 anime redemption arcs, for sure.
Yes.
Number one, Varen and Thomas.
Yeah, there it is, right there.
Number two?
So...
Who's number two in the?
No.
Oh, I was figuring you were gonna bring up the number one anime redemption arc.
Oh, the number one actual anime redemption.
Yeah.
Okay. That is harder to think about.
Yeah. Fair enough. We're gonna have to Vegeta. Come back on that one.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbygen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbygen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcast, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set. And join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic, and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
Look, Vegeta, a Pokemon. Thanks. for tuning in, everybody. I would say
if it ended during the Majin Buu saga, it would be Vegeta. If that's where Vegeta's story arc ended, after he self-detonates as Majin Vegeta, that would be the number one anime redemption arc.
Vegeta.
But it continues on. And Sasuke's not even a contender. He's not even in the top 20.
No, he's a douche.
I still really love the character. I just think the end of his arc is fucking shite.
Anyway.
Thanks for being here. Hopefully the taint we've dispensed for you.
Wait, hold on. Not Bill Cosby voice. Hold on.
Hopefully the taint we've dispensed for you
it's going there already.
Has been enjoyable. It has left you a bit more mad than you were when we first started.
No, this one's fine.
From all of us here at the Black
Tower. It started
Tower,
to go that way, but it brought itself back. That was a pretty good redemption arc, I think.
From all of us here at the Black Tower, gaining your tainty powers, I have been your Soravan Mihail, Josh.
And I have been your Bajan Mihail, Andrew.
And I have been your Aman Khan Mihail, Daniel. And we hope that whatever it is that you are doing today when you are listening to this, whether it be driving in your car or sitting around with your loved ones or alone in your office pretending to work, we hope that everything is going well this morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon. Always good evening. The show.
So much trouble, just fitting.